Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 620, What About Chief, recorded on March 13th, 2018. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we're doing a little offline minicast because turns out the community update from last week got posted after we were done recording. And since there's probably going to be another update this week, and there's been some other Halo news, we thought we'd kind of go ahead and do a short show offline and get some of this stuff out of the way. So this will probably be no more than 20 or 30 minutes.
Imagine that. They posted something after we were done with the show. Big surprise.
Yeah. We moved it to Thursday to try to kind of get ahead of that stuff, and then I guess I decided to post on Thursday, so it might be something where on the recording nights we'll go forward with it if they have the post. If not, we might, during the live streams, kind of take a break, read through it, and then pick up the show. Like some of the other Halo podcasts actually will stop and do segments and stuff, so we might start doing that depending on how late Jeff posts the updates. We'll just continue to observe and see how it goes. We just wanted to kind of get ahead of this one since we have a feeling there's going to be another community update this coming week, and we wanted to not double stack. And GT was kind enough to get online for about 30 minutes to do this.
Yes, it is past my bedtime, so.
So we're going to kind of stream through this as quickly as possible. Chief Concerns is the title of this update, if people want to follow along with us going through it. The first item is more lore talking about the announcement from earlier that we covered last week, Halo Collateral Damage being the three-part mini comic series that's going to be covering Blue Team. And then there's also another little lore bit. We have a description on Bad Blood. So we know a little more about the premise of the story. It's taking place right after Halo 5, right after the events of the very end. So you have Spartan's Blue Team and Fireteam Osiris running for their lives as Cortana is basically hunting them down. And there's a note in here that says it's, even as they attempt to stay one step ahead, trouble seems to find Spartan Edward Buck no matter where he turns. And then the next paragraph, I don't know what you think about this, GT, but it seems to focus a lot more on the squad that we saw in New Blood and kind of continue that story arc.
Well, it does seem that they're going to reconstitute Alpha 9, including one certain Spartan 4 that Buck really has a problem with, a.k.a. Mickey.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
For all of you that haven't read the first book in this series, I would recommend you go through it and catch up.
And it's not a long read either.
No, it's not a bad... It's not a long read, but it's a confusing read.
It'll make you think.
It bounces back and forth quite a bit.
At least it's not as bad as Game of Thrones.
I'll have to take your word on that one. I don't get those stations, so I don't watch that. Not that I'd watch it anyway.
Well, so I actually tried reading the book. I had a friend lend me the book for a little bit, and I got through maybe the first third of the first book, and I'm like, yeah, I can't keep track of what's going on. I just give up.
Yeah, that kind of was my first pass through New Blood. I had to go through it a couple of times before I actually got the time frame that we were talking about, or that the book was talking about, because it's talking about multiple time frames.
Yeah, it jumps around, what, to four different, well, I guess five, if you include the ODST part, but at least five different timelines within the book, and it's a short book.
It bounces around quite a bit. You know, the funny thing is I see Buck thinking like this. Buck thinks like that book reads. Just all over the map.
And I think Matt Forbeck did a really good job of personifying him through the book to match what we saw in ODST.
Oh yeah, he did a great job. You know, reading through the book, it really felt like Buck. The only thing would have made it better is if they had Nathan Fillion read the audiobook.
I think he might be a little pricey for that kind of stuff.
Hey, I'd give him an extra $20 for the book. If they could get Nathan Fillion to read for it, I'd pay them an extra $20 for the book.
That's probably what it would cost. Because that's, what, 14 hours of audio?
I don't remember how long it actually is.
It's a long time.
Yeah, for something like that, you're looking at... No, I don't think it's 14 hours, because it's a relatively short book, and I mean, like, Fall of Reach is 12 hours. So it would probably be in between the... Well, it might take you that long to read it, but in audiobook form, they tend to go by a little faster.
I think I just remember hearing somewhere the average audiobook is like 14 hours, and I was just kind of attributing that to it, maybe.
Actually, the longest Halo book, I think, is between 12 and 13 hours, but most of them are shorter than that. Not by a whole lot. I would say in Halo books, the average is probably right around 12 hours if you stay away from the short stories, if you don't figure those in. But, you know, the full-on novels, they're between 11 and 12 hours. So it's not a bad deal. You know, it usually takes me about a couple of weeks to listen to them going back and forth to work.
That's not too bad.
No. So, you know, it's really not that bad at all. But it does sound like that they're going to pick up pretty much right after the end cutscene of Halo 5. Or shortly thereafter.
Running away from Cortana.
I can't wait to see Saren Osman say, "Hey, Buck, guess what?
I'm Onisek now."
Although, if you follow the extended lore, you'll know that that's probably a stretch.
What, her being Onisek?
No, her being available.
Oh. Who's Saren Osman?
Yeah. There's a story in Fractures, I think. Yeah, Fractures, that follows up with what Saren Osman's been up to, or what Saren Osman is up to. So,
I wonder if Dare's going to make an appearance back in here.
Well, you know, someone, was it Halo Canon, did a little short video on the book, you know, after this released. And there was another piece of concept art released with this cover. And there's five Spartans in the cover art, or in the, sorry, concept art. You know, you have Buck right up here in front, but there's two other Spartans that are off to the sides. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see the foot of one.
But there's two other Spartan fours over there. And it's... One theory is that they talked Dutch into coming back. So you have Buck, Romeo, and Mickey for sure. If they talked Dutch into coming back and becoming a Spartan 4, there's 4. So who's the fifth one? It could be Dare. There's a possibility, but they could also be two other random Spartans too.
Yeah, there's not much to give away in that screenshot of what it possibly could be.
Yeah, it, like I said, it's a theory.
Just out of curiosity, why do you think there's a big line in the sky in the back? And then an orb. You think we're still on Genesis at this point?
The big line in the back is most likely a Halo ring.
That's kind of what I was wondering.
As far as the moon or orb in the middle of the... Or... In the background, oh man, it could be the Death Star for all I know.
Well, and then also you have the red and blue, so the planet of red and blue.
Yes.
I don't think we're going back to the Shan Shayum homeworld. It wasn't Shan Shayum homeworld. What was the planet of red and blue?
It's a place where there were Forerunner relics that they found, and it was mentioned in...
It's in Broken Circle, right?
Yeah, Broken Circle.
The one that I started 3 times and never finished.
Actually, I'm about to finish it again. I've been listening it for the last week. You know, it was mentioned this was a place where they battled Usa in the book. And, you know, this is the only time this planet has ever shown up in the Halo lore. But it was a Forerunner treasure trove. You know, there were Forerunner buildings and Forerunner artifacts, and they did find tunnels underneath the planet. So it could be a shield world.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going
to
say that.
But it was never, you know, it was never said to be that. You know, it was never inferred that in the books. But this could very well be that planet. This planet is tidally locked between a red dwarf star and I forget what they call the other one. But it's a binary star system, and this planet's stuck between two of the stars. So it doesn't rotate if this is that planet.
Interesting. Yeah. So I don't know if have you, I'm going to send you a link here, but there's some other concept arts that I guess are done by the person that actually made the concept art for Bad Blood. And on, I guess, the actual book cover, the two Spartans aren't there. It's only the one to the left of the main image. But then there's some other potential cover arts that I don't know if they really infer anything or if they're just like concept pieces.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that it's just a artist rendition.
Maybe I'm trying to read too much into it.
And, you know, it is possible that a lot of us are just trying to read too much into it. You know, because, you know, some of the other art pieces are, you know, you still have the same background, but it's all blue. Or you have the same background and it's pretty much kind of an orangish red. And you have two Spartans and it looks like two Marines in it. So there's, like I said, all this stuff is theory. We have no idea exactly all the characters that will be in the book. We know at least three of them. We know it's going to be Buck, Romeo, and Mickey for sure, because they pretty much state that in the update where, you know, he gets Alpha 9 back together. The only two other members of Alpha 9 that are currently Spartan 4s are Mickey and Romeo. So I don't think they would make the team up of anything other than Spartan 4s.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's hard to say at this point.
What's really got me peaked is what's a secret mission?
The Oni secret mission.
That they're sending an ODST or Spartan 4 on and not Master Chief. But I can kind of see why, as far as a story point, you would do that, because, you know, Master Chief's going to be in the next game and he's going to be chasing after Cortana. So this is going to be like a supporting story for Halo 6.
I'm assuming it's going to be in before Halo 6, probably like lead into it.
Like I said, this takes place right after Halo 5. So this is the time frame between Halo 5 and Halo 6. Depending on, you know, how fast the timeline is in Halo 6, it may overlap a little bit, but probably not a whole lot.
Right.
But it also might give us a little bit of a hint as to which way they're going to go with the Halo 6 story.
It better give us a pretty big hint. I think it's going to hopefully, I mean, it's not going to tell the whole plot, or it probably won't set up the entire plot of the game, but it should give us, or at least I'm hoping it gives us a good idea of what Cortana is doing with her newfound power.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those deals that we won't realize it was part of the story until after we get Halo 6. I don't think it's going to be blatantly obvious. I think it's probably going to be something more subtle.
It could be. And that honestly might be a better way to go about it, because you don't want to just spoil everything.
Well, after the fiasco that was Halo 5, I don't think they want to release too much of the story before the game comes out.
Yeah.
You know, the marketing campaign was a great marketing campaign. it's too bad that the story that was delivered didn't match that marketing campaign in the way that everybody was thinking it would. You know, everybody was expecting this, you know, this back and forth battle between Locke and Chief, and we really never got that.
Yeah, it was bad. It didn't match up at all. Unfortunate, but hopefully they've learned their lesson and we'll get a better story next game. If they keep a lot of the core foundation of the multiplayer, because I think the multiplayer is probably one of the best multiplayers of a Halo game. If they can keep that, maybe trim some of the excess stuff that overall the community doesn't really like, and then deliver a strong story. I would say a killer story, but I don't want to put 343 on that high of a pedestal right now. But if they can deliver a good, solid story, then I think Halo 6 has a chance to bring some people back. But if they flounder, I think Halo's popularity is just going to continually be on the decline for a long time.
I would like to see them bring in a Halo 4 quality story without the required reading. I'm serious. Halo 4 has a really good story.
But you have to read the books.
To understand it, well, all of it, you need to have read the external fiction. And that is in part because there's such a large gap between Halo 4 or Halo 3 and Halo 4. You know, there's 8 years to fill. You know, at first I was pretty upset with the way Halo 4's story was handled. But in retrospect, looking at the quality of the story we got, which is a really good story, and having the additional knowledge of the books leading up to Halo 4, I don't know that if they'd had done it the traditional way, that we would have still gotten that good story out of Halo 4. Because there was just such a large gap between Halo 3 and Halo 4 in the universe as far as time, that there was no way to really fill that gap in the game and get all that information across to the player.
Yeah.
You know, without running like a 20-minute cutscene or something like that.
I was going to say, not without some long either beginning cutscene or something to help fill the gap.
Now, if they'd have done like a Forward into Dawn type series or something like that, that was accessible to, say, people that pre-ordered Halo 4. The episodes start coming out maybe 3 weeks before launch. Something like that. You know, nothing, not Forward Unto Dawn in length, but something like that, like a 3-part miniseries to kind of get everybody caught up, then okay, that would have made sense for Halo 4 and then be able to get you caught up to where Halo 4 started and know all this other stuff. But, you know, there are some things in the Halo 4 story that they didn't quite handle right. But overall, it was still a good story.
I definitely agree.
You know, if they do that, or even, like a Halo 2 and a Halo 3 quality story, just not that size, because, you know, that encompassed two or a game and a half, and they keep most of the Halo 5 multiplayer, there'll be some changes, but I do see the enhanced mobility staying. I see the weapon sandbox staying. For the most part, there might be some changes in weapons, but you know, it'll probably be, instead of having the plasma or the storm rifle, we'll have plasma rifles, things like that. You know, I kind of see that happening, but if they do that and Forge launches with the game, I think they'll have a good game, and we're totally off topic.
It happens. But you're right. I think it's something that they need to nail the story. They have to nail the story.
Really excited about that book. I want that book. As soon as the audiobook, as soon as it comes out, I will be buying the audiobook and starting to listen to that one.
Very good. All right. Next thing up on the list is they mentioned the MCC update 2, which we talked about last week. Oh, I guess we should mention Halo Bad Blood is on store shelves and digital version on June 26th of this year. I don't know if there's an Amazon pre-order link yet. I'm going to check real quick.
Yes, there is.
Okay. So we'll link that. So podtechalert.com/badblood will take you there. So once you're listening to this, it'll be up there. $16 paperback, $11.99 Kindle edition. Is there an Audible listing yet for it? Not yet, it looks like. Okay.
It probably won't show up until after it is actually launched. Now, that's the way I've noticed that they've been doing that. You know, they don't even list the audiobook until after launch of the book.
Gotcha.
But you can figure the audio version is probably going to be between $22 and $25.
Sounds about right. Okay. So, yeah, back to the update. Halo World Championship Series. This past weekend was Sydney. We'll talk about the results in a little more detail on the next episode. But it was interesting to watch some of the games this week because they were basically a day earlier because of the time difference and the day difference. In the U.S., they actually started on Thursday. They started on Thursday and they had the finals on Saturday, even though they actually started on Friday and ended on Sunday in Australia, in Sydney. So that was kind of weird. Did you catch any of the action at all?
I swung by for a little bit, but I really didn't have a chance to watch most of it.
So something I noticed while I was watching them play, there's usually a lot of comments on how the UK teams usually don't play as hard. They're a little more patient when challenging opponents or facing other teams in game. I felt like the Australians did a better job of actually being aggressive like the North Americans do. I don't know if that's... I'm not sure why that is, but it's just something that I noticed while I was watching the two different games being... or the... comparing the two different gameplay styles of the UK finals and then the Sydney finals. Just a small, minor observation. I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but it was just something I noticed. Next up on the update, Strategic Endeavors. So 343, I guess, has been doing some Halo Wars 2 tournaments lately, and there's been some community efforts as well. I think we touched on Omega Team's tournament when they announced it, or they were talking about it either in the last update or the update before that. But the finals for that tournament have been completed. In the update, they linked to Omega Team's Twitch channel, where I guess they have the VOD for the finals there. Might have to go check it out just to see how competitive Halo Wars 2 looks. But they're looking to dive more into supporting community events for Halo Wars 2 tournaments. Breaking the Clutch is also hosting a series of tournaments throughout the rest of the spring and summer. Every other week, they have registration open for an every other week tournament that they do. And I think it's going to be up until July. Yeah, all the way through July. A tournament that you play in gets you certain points to standings. I think each tournament that you win, they add each victory in tournament, excluding qualifiers, adds 3 points to your standing in the leagues. And then the top three competitors at the end of the season will win prizes. It's a 1v1 tournament death match, I believe. But it's done by Breaking the Clutch. You can just check out the update. There's also Team Respawn, who's doing a Halo Wars 2 tournament as well. And then 343 is also supporting their own tournaments. And they actually have one this coming Saturday, March 17th, which is a 1v1 elimination deathmatch on Rift for 64 players. I didn't know 343 was doing tournaments for and using the tournaments feature on the Xbox clubs.
You know, like I said, I found that they were doing, you know, it was up there for tournaments. because we were thinking about doing one for ourselves. And I, you know, I checked the app and saw that it was there, but I didn't know that they were that many, or that it was that active.
Yeah. And I think for the Halo Wars 2 tournament that we were talking about, Taz actually reached out to me. And he's like, he's been having the same idea as well. And we're thinking about maybe going in together, maybe to host a tournament of some kind, maybe some prizes and some money to give away with that too.
Hey, free stuff.
Yeah. Who doesn't like free stuff?
I want free stuff.
Then free stuff you shall have. It's something that I think we'd like to get into doing is hosting maybe a tournament a year, something like that.
Yeah. It would be nice if they would support Halo 5 in the tournament section as well, but
yeah, I don't know if Xbox just isn't really flighting the program well enough or what, but the fact that there's only 4 games for the it's still 4 games for the tournament's feature in the Xbox app, right?
I don't know. It's been a month since I looked.
I think there's potential there. I really do. I don't know if it takes developers getting involved with using the APIs for it, or if there's some negotiation that has to take place. I don't know.
Yeah, currently there are 4 games: Injustice 2, Halo Wars 2, Killer Instinct, and World of Tanks.
So World of Tanks is not a first party.
No, it's not a first party
exclusive.
No, actually, it was the last place it showed up was console.
Yeah. It's on PC for a long time.
I should say Xbox. I think it's been on PS or PlayStation. It, you know, it started on PC, and I think it went to PlayStation first, and then it recently came to Xbox.
Okay. Interesting. Next up on the update is some more Halo 5 tweaks. So they have updated the Halo 3 throwback playlist from when they first dropped it, I guess technically a couple weeks ago. They removed Assembly Oddball, Narrows Oddball, and Citadel Team Slayer, and they increased the frequency of showing up in matchmaking for Narrow CTF, Pit CTF, Pit Team Slayer, Construct Team Slayer, Guardian Oddball, and Guardian Team Slayer. This is a result of player feedback. Community Spotlight. This past week was International Women's Day on March 8th. So there was a nice picture of all the women from 343, and they even photoshopped in some of the women characters from the game, including Vale, Tanaka, Kelly, and Dr. Halsey.
And Kat and Cortana.
Where's Cortana? Oh, I see Kat.
Look at... Yeah, I can't think of her name.
Bonnie. Bonnie's holding Bonnie's her
hand.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Bonnie. I blanked on your name.
No worries. Well, that's cool. So those are all the... I guess all the women game characters. Except, it would have been cool to see Miranda in there. But I guess she's not an active character anymore.
Well, she's dead.
Well, I guess so is Kat. Yeah, so is Kat.
I couldn't resist. I had to reply. I said, just don't let Kat drive the ghost.
I see your reply. That's good.
That is a cool shot. I'm glad that they added in those other people. You know, the other game characters. That was cool. It would have been great if people would have... not trolled them in the responses, but all in all, that's really impressive, and I'm glad that they put it up there.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how many people are supporting the game.
And, you know, like I said in my reply to them, thanks to all the ladies for all the hard work they put into the Halo games.
So that was at the very top of the community spotlight. Definitely check it out if you haven't already. It's on the Halo Twitter feed as well. Don't know if they posted it on Facebook as well. I think they did, but I'm not entirely sure. Next up is a couple of really cool renders, and these are actually renders, not just screenshots. But the first one is just a battle between UNSC and elites. It's titled Retreating New Jerusalem, Rookie 425 made it from Twitter. Really well done. I'm surprised that's a render, because that looks more like a piece of artwork than a render.
Yeah, it's quite the shot.
Really is. I like the art style in there. It has the contrast of the blue kind of plasma from the Covenant weapons, and then you have the fire and the burnt sky. And it has just a little contrast of that blue and then just a lot of that brown and yellow. I know I'm not doing the picture any justice by describing it, but go check out the update. You'll find it. The next render is by Hog Infinity, and it is a lone wolf Spartan with a sniper rifle. And it looks...
Actually, I think that's supposed to be June.
Okay. I could see that a little bit.
I mean, it's not exactly June's armor, but...
It could be inspired by June.
Yeah, inspired by June.
I could see it. There's a link to a couple of side-by-side comparisons of the art between Halo 2 Anniversary and Halo 2 Classic. Some just interesting ways to observe the updates in resolution and all the textures that they've updated as well. There's one, I think, that was done primarily on... Forget what the mission name is. It's the one where you have the scarab at the end. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name.
Yeah, me too.
People are probably screaming at us right now, but yeah. Check out the update. It'll be there. I'm looking up Halo 2 missions right now on Google.
I tell you what, that's some impressive changes Metropolis. On the render. Yeah, Metropolis.
That's it. Yeah. The Xbox One makes it look pretty. Makes it look really pretty.
Honestly, yeah, some of these shots I think look better than the Anniversary.
Kind of. I don't know if that's just because it's...
Oh, that's Anniversary mode. Never mind. They are shots from the Anniversary, Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yeah, there's some comparison shots between the old and the new. And then there's just a lot of the Anniversary shots.
That tells you how good they are. I didn't even realize they were Anniversary shot.
Your low resolution memory just got automatically upgraded through time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. The next thing is, I guess one of the local news stations in Seattle covered some cosplayers and Halo was featured in it. A couple of the 405th folks that I have met were actually in one of the pictures that was, I guess, the cover art for their Twitter post, but it's King5 News, so if we were doing this live, I would ask Haas about it, but we could maybe ask him about it later. But yeah, so they did a little bit on the cosplaying community. Now there's a little video on their website.
Nice little focus on them.
Yeah, it's always nice to see local stations highlight some kind of game culture without blaming video games for violence every now and then.
To have good news and not all bad news.
Yeah.
I like how they pointed out the shop rules. That was pretty cool.
The what?
I didn't get to read them.
Yeah.
I didn't get to read the shop rules, but hey, they took a photo of them.
Always wear the mask. Next one is I think this is cross-stitch, right?
Cross-stitch or needlepoint.
Yeah, so one of the two, someone, I think, basically took the concept of the person that did the watercolor from last week and just continued it forward. So the watercolor, we were supposed to take care of each other, and then this one just has, and we did. It's really cool.
Somebody has way too much time on their hands.
Especially to figure out the patterns for a cross stitch. Or needlepoint, whichever one it is.
Interesting combination. Halo player and a cross-stitcher. I don't know what you'd call them, but someone that does cross-stitch or needlepoint. I guess we have a diverse community.
We have a very diverse community. And it could be something not to be sexist or anything, but it could be something where like you have one spouse that's into Halo and maybe the other spouse maybe isn't into Halo but supports Halo in the way and does something like this. It's possible.
Possible.
Next thing, Sicker Boy posted some pictures from when he was at Gfinity Arena for the London Finals. So that's up on Twitter. And then there's a little section in here where someone has actually gone in with the blind skull and taken some of the cinematics and other panorama videos of Halo 3, Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 5. And I haven't had a chance to watch all of them yet, but being Xbox One, they just look so pretty. It's done by YouTuber Medium Gray Sky. It's just environment montages from those three games. And then finally, to wrap things up, we have Halo Hotshots. Last week was Master Chief's birthday, according to the lore, on March 7th. So we have a lot of Master Chief-themed screenshots, including screenshots from the Master Chief Collection, the Mjolnir Mark VI in Halo 5. I think we have Primordial Woman 7 also did some screenshots as well. I think most of these are probably from Halo 5 of his, judging by the visual styles of each one of the screenshots. But yeah, lots of cool Master Chiefs. And there's a couple of others that are not Master Chief specific, but mostly Master Chief. And that's it. That's the update.
The massive update.
It was a pretty sizable one. I mean, we've been recording for 45 minutes.
It'd been nice if they had released it about an hour before they did.
Yeah. We heard
it last week.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Grim. Because if it's 9 when we're starting, that means he's working late to get this posted.
No kidding. But, you know, he does start off with the article and state that between his schedule and Sketch's schedule, they are in nightmare land.
That's true, especially with worlds going on right now.
It's get it while you can.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Thanks, everyone, for downloading us and tuning into this. Sorry it wasn't live, but we were trying to do this just really quick and wanted to get this done so we can actually talk about the next update without having to make a 2-hour-long show, because that would happen. But make sure you check us out.
It'll probably be 2 hours anyway.
Depending on what else comes out, it might be. Check us out on our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Mixer, YouTube. We have our Spartan Club. We have our Xbox Club. We have our Spartan Company. All that fun stuff. If we have it, just search for Podtacular and you'll find it. You can find our podcast on iTunes, the Google Play Store, our Google Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, whatever. We are on TuneIn now, so for anyone who listens to podcasts with Alexa through their Echo devices, you can actually listen to Podtacular through that now.
Hey, Alexa, play Podtacular.
There you go. I think you have to say play program Podtacular, because I think it references...
Well, I didn't want to actually set off everybody's Alexa.
Oh.
Although I could reword it and do that.
I didn't even think about that because I usually think of people listening to podcasts either in their car or with headphones. So you're right, though. But yes, your Alexa can do that. As long as you don't say Alexa and pause, I think it wouldn't pick it up anyways. But we could have so much fun with that if we just did it on a whim. That's funny. We also have Stitcher. We are on Zune, or what's it technically called for Windows phones?
It's just part of... Actually, podcast I have app. No idea what it is now, because technically Xbox Music is defunct. They have rolled all their services over into Spotify.
Oh?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Oh, 2 months ago? A month ago? Something like that. As far as their streaming services.
Okay.
I don't use their application for podcasts anymore. I found another application that works much better. And it, you know, actually downloads when it's supposed to. not whenever it feels like it.
That's probably important.
Yeah. I'm sure you can still download it through the Groove Music Player or something like that.
Okay. Well, it's available that way anyways. Check out our podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows, including Critzcast, Guardian Radio, The Learning Cliff, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out about those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. Also, we did clear out a couple of spots on our Spartan Company, so if you want to help us out with Spartan commendations, then please head on over to podtechnolord.com/company, and that will take you to the company page where you can request to enlist, and then once we get the notification, we will accept you. Also, make sure you check out the latest loot crate. It is Arena and Warzone multiplayer focused. You have until April 15th at midnight Eastern or 9 p.m. Pacific time to order the crate. And I think that's going to be it for us tonight. Thanks everyone for downloading us and tuning in. Thanks GT for staying up past your bedtime. And we will catch you all on the next episode.